Don and Mike, WJFK.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Get out of here, Dewey.
What are y'all doing in here?
We're smoking reefer, and you don't want no part of this.
You're smoking reefers?
Yeah, of course we are. Can't you smell it?
Come on, Dewey. Join the party.
No, Dewey. You don't want this. Get out of here.
You know what? I don't want no hangover. I can't get no hangover.
It doesn't give you a hangover.
Well, I get addicted to it or something?
It's not habit forming.
Oh, okay, well, I don't know. I don't want to overdose on it.
You can't OD on it.
It's not going to make me want to have sex, is it?
It makes sex even better.
Sounds kind of expensive.
It's the cheapest drug there is.
Hmm.
You don't want it.
I think I kind of want it.
Okay, but just this once. Come on in.
The Don and Mike Show.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Always.
Let me look. The key for me is to keep expectations low.
It's the fool and the classy one. Don and Mike.
I'm a grassroots. Yeah, Dewey Cox. That's a movie I want to see.
Yeah, that really does look like it's going to be great. And it's about time that that guy, what's the name of the actor that plays the title role? I forget, he's been in so many.
Is it John C. Reilly?
John C. Reilly. About time he got his moment in the sun to star. I mean, he's been a supporting character in so many great movies.
That was Tim Meadows with him there.
Oh, really?
If you Google it, the first 10 minutes of it are online.
Really?
You watch the first 10 minutes of the movie.
Pretty good?
A couple good laughs in it, I think. Okay. I think it probably would build up from there.
SHI weekend, if you wanted to go to the movies,
yeah,
we were looking, saying, okay, first, I don't want to see whatever the Golden Compass is.
Oh, yeah, really? Like they say it's for adults, but give me a break.
Rip off of Harry Potter. Mm-hmm. I don't want to see the one, the Disney one, where it's like the half girl, half animation.
Enchanted.
Prince
right.
Charming come to life.
Right.
We couldn't find anything.
Beowulf.
No thanks. Not even with the 3D glasses. No thank you.
Huh. There's a good one out there, but it's hard to find. I'm trying to think. It's the shoot 'em up. It's the one where the guy.
The Coen Brothers movie?
Yeah. And I can't find it anywhere.
Is it called B-Movie?
No.
That's the
one. B-Movie.
Anyway, after we decided there was nothing worth our time, I was looking through the DVDs at home, and I said to my girlfriend, have you ever seen Full Metal Jacket? Mm-hmm. And, you know, she's a chick. Uh-huh. She's, early 40s, and it's just not been in her wheelhouse.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I said, oh, you're going to like this. And what a treat it is to put on a movie like that.
Right.
And her only knowledge of the movie is me quoting it. Uh-huh. Like, what is that in your locker private pile?
It's kind of fun to put on a real classic.
Right? A jelly donut. And what I found great about watching it was, and I had to stop myself from telling her because she didn't know what the movie's about. I say right away, okay, you see the big cat private pile? That's the guy from Law and Order.
Did you tell her, keep your eyes on him?
Now, Mike, it was very hard. It was very hard not to tell her what was coming because the way that and think about the first time you saw the movie.
Right.
They're playing it like he might be a lovable character who somehow pulls through.
Sure. Right? Yeah, you really, when you see it for the first time, and I do remember seeing that for the first time, and you thought Private Pie might be like a feel-good story.
And uh-huh. She actually, at one point, right before they beat his ass with the soap, like 5 minutes before, he said something to Joker, and she
he gets
like,
all sweet right before that. He gets all kind of doughy, and I need you to help me, Joker.
Joker is buttoning up his shirt for him, yeah. and he's like going, I could, a Joker, and she looks and she goes, "Oh!" And I just had to stop myself from saying, "Your world is going to go upside down in about 5 minutes from now."
Yeah, he's about to undergo the change of life. When Private Pyle, he comes back as a different soldier after that.
And here's the other thing: when the hard ass sergeant comes in,
R. Lee Ermey,
right? When he comes in, he's like, "Private Pyle, what in Jesus' name are you doing?" I know that Janet is not in any stratosphere expecting, first off, that he's going to shoot the guy, and then he's going to blow his own head off, and how hard it was to
see. Did you go to the second half? Because that's the end of the first half of the movie. That's what I love about it. You don't have to watch the second half. You can leave it there if you want to. Did you stay with the whole thing?
We watched the whole thing, and it was great because she's heard from various people for so long, like, me love you long time, mm-hmm. you know. Ooh, everything you want.
Anything you want. Right.
And she's like, is that why everybody says that?
Mm-hmm. Or like, everything you want. You know, and that's the nice thing about it. You might massacre it, but you do it. It's you know the way it you is. Interpret it, yeah. You know?
And at one point she said to me, is that why, like, sometimes you say, hello, Joker. And I say, sure. Mm-hmm. She said, I always thought you were talking about Batman. Right?
Well, you know, it's a good feeling to experience a movie like that. That not only can you go back to again and again and again, but to watch it with somebody who's seeing it for the first time. How did she like it? Did
she loved it.
She loved it. Yeah, it's a classic. I mean, Kubrick's my favorite director anyway.
She loved it. It looks good in high def, and unlike a lot of the stuff you see now, no CGI stuff. Was real buildings and.
You know, I really hope that.
Love it.
There are plenty of good filmmakers, but, Stanley Kubrick, one in a million. I mean, to have his definitive style, and I really hope we get more like that.
She just called. She was sitting there where they're beating him with the soap. And afterwards, when he's just going, ow,
he really does say ow, doesn't he? He goes,
yes.
Ow,
ow,
ow, ow.
I was laughing just a little bit. And she said, now keep in mind, she's really emotionally into this movie.
Sure.
She's,
right.
What's funny? Everything's funny. I said, the first time I saw it, I didn't laugh out
loud. No, nobody laughs the first time you see it because you're shocked by it. But then when you're desensitized to it,
yeah,
it becomes, movies take on a different life. When you see them a couple of times, you can handle the guy in the trunk of the car in Goodfellas getting stabbed by Joe Pesci. Mm-hmm. I mean, it doesn't shock you because you know what's happening. When you see it for the first time, it's quite a shock.
Anyway, I'm sure I made the correct move. Our options were either... A Night at the Museum, which we've not seen. Yeah. We got
thank,
on DVD,
thank you,
we've just
no.
not seen it.
You're right.
Or, maybe one that she hadn't seen. So thank you again, Stanley Kubrick.
And I've got two box sets of Stanley Kubrick stuff. I mean, they overlap a little bit, but, so many great movies.
Yep.
I mean, really, just incredible
Black
stuff.
Clockwork Orange, 2001.
The highlight of my weekend
Shining.
Had really nothing to do with me. It was Rob. And it was Rob and his kids. And... what is a really, really great idea for kids.
I'm so excited to hear about this. I was bothering Rob when I first got here today to ask him about it.
To get kids into the holiday season, and you have to hear the buildup on this, and you have to hear everything that was done. Please stay to the very end to hear the incredible depression, the Christmas depression that is thrown on these kids.
All right.
Oh. It's not heartbreaking, Mike. It's not heartbreaking.
Oh, because I was so living vicariously when you told me about the idea. And, of course, I think we all had thoughts that maybe it wouldn't come off perfectly.
Here's the premise, and I'll throw it to
Rob. It was just
Rob.
Unfortunate.
The premise is, I think, one of the coolest things I've ever heard.
The premise is that United Airlines is going to get a plane. They're going to get a bunch of kids to go out to Dulles Airport on Saturday morning. Mm-hmm. They're going to put them on a plane, tell the kids they're flying to the North Pole. They're going to make it so when the plane lands, Santa Claus is there. Everything is boarded up so that the kids can't see anything.
They just taxi the plane. But the plane actually leaves the gate, right?
Oh, yes, yeah. It does. Yes, it does. But anyway, Rob, pick it up. It's a great okay. idea with a great end.
What was it called, first of all?
The Fantasy Flight.
The Fantasy Flight? Okay,
and
cool.
We got it because Carrie knew somebody who knew somebody who knew somebody. And so we got four seats on this thing. And it was much bigger than I thought. So we had to get up very early. We got to Dulles at 6:30, and there's those flashing road signs, that would normally say, like, keep left or something.
It's
Fantasy Flight parking, and they parked us near the Marriott at Dulles Airport, so not actually at the airport.
You have to take a shuttle
and
over to
the
airport.
And the shuttle takes you right to the airport. We get off, and when you get into the main terminal at Dulles Airport, there's that big, big sign that has every departure.
Yeah, uh-huh.
It says, departure, 9 a.m., flight 999, North Pole. It
then
says
you
it
say,
on the sign.
So you're showing this to the kids.
Yeah, and I said,
of course,
and see,
Julie,
right
of course
there, it's I'm with you so far.
Cool.
It sounds fantastic.
Julia can read. So that was, I thought, was going to be the sticking point. What was going to trip this up?
Right.
That she would see something. But I said, look, guys, it said North Pole. And Julia said, yeah. And every 20 or 30 feet, there is a United captain, in the suit and the hat.
All right, I have to ask you a question. your kids going into this, they're obviously
out of their minds. At
Robert
this point.
Is ramped up.
Right.
He's
five,
excited about
Julia
this.
Julia is seven or just about to turn seven.
Just about. So she's right at the end of it, but she still thinks
just,
it's kind of
cool.
But
they're just out of their mind. And they're happy they're going to an airport. You know,
right.
That kids love it.
Cool.
And so they every 20 feet, this way to the fantasy flight. Are you excited about the flight? Are you excited to go to the North Pole? Right this way. Right this
I
way.
I think it's so cool. I really
and
do.
So we get to the, you know, right before the security, and they check us in. They check our IDs, and, you know, they're doing, like, the whole deal. The kids get their wings. They get stickers that say Santa Claus. They make us go through the metal detector, and I had to take our shoes off and the whole deal.
So you're full of the kids. It's really great.
Well, you are actually going into that part of the airport,
exactly,
so you have to do it
but
anyway,
I hadn't
right.
thought this far ahead.
Okay.
We get to we take the people mover, because, you know, that's how Dulles is. We take
right.
the people mover. We get to our gate. We get to the gate. The sign says, United, $9.99, North Pole. And there is there's handing out refreshments, orange juice and cookies for the kids. There's a balloon animal artist.
All right, so far so good.
Yeah, it's great. There's a caricature artist that's drawing pictures of the kids.
Wow.
And there's music and everything is. Are you excited? Then the flight attendants show up, and these are the most dazzling array of flight attendants you have ever seen.
Sure. Are they hot?
They're the most dazzling array of
faggots. No, I wouldn't call them dazzling if they were hot. These
are
just
you mean you're
dazzling.
Talking about like Perez Hilton dazzling?
Yeah, these are dazzling faggots.
Okay.
And they've all got beautiful Santa hats and elf ears, and they're all into it. I said, this is pretty cool.
All right.
And they're doing, you know, 25 minutes till we're boarding for the fantasy flight to go to the North Pole.
You should know, Rob said to me, picture Will Thomas from Channel 5.
Yeah, but
with a Santa hat on?
But a lot of them.
Really?
Yeah. But like Rob said, like, in The Matrix, you know, when they made that one guy, 8,000, the one bad guy, he said, picture a plane full of guys that look just like Will Thomas with Santa hats on, saying to the kids,
are you ready?
Are you excited?
Oh.
So they finally finish up, and we get on the plane, and it's a 747.
Oh, so it's a big jet.
I have never even been on a 747.
Okay.
And
all
it's full. They filled it up with kids and parents, and everybody gets on. And they say, we're getting ready for our departure. There's some weather at the North Pole, but they've cleared us. Now, you got to know, kids, this is a super secret flight plan. So all shades on the plane have to be kept down for the entire flight. Otherwise, we won't be invited back. And they said, great. So we all get our seats. They've got Ratatouille playing on the screen. And, you know, the kids are just beside themselves.
I had asked you on Friday. We were talking about how they were going to do this. And I said, well, the one way of doing it is having the shades put down. So that's cool. So they did that.
Yeah, and that's how they pulled it off. And then they, you know, they seat us in. They give us documentation. Anyone who's been on a national flight, you have to fill out, you know, the card. And they say, this is what you have to fill out to get to the North Pole.
So far, this
is
great.
Don't lose your documentation.
This is great.
Like, it's all great until the very end. I mean, it's all top shelf.
Okay.
And it's not. We've not even gotten to the best of it yet. They say, you know, we've got 20 minutes before takeoff. Would your kids like to go up to the cockpit?
Oh,
and
wow,
I said,
this is fantastic.
Would you? And Robert said no. He was just more excited to be on the plane. Julia said, yeah. So we get to go upstairs in the plane. And go
see the cockpit.
She got to sit in the pilot seat, pull the stick, mess with the throttle. I mean, touch everything she wanted. So that's really cool. We get in. The captain gets on. We're ready to depart. They pull the shades. All are down. They rev up the engines. You feel us. They said, we're getting ready for takeoff. And they goose the engines loud.
So they really make it feel.
Yep, and we're rumbling around. And, you know, the kids have only been on one flight before.
So
as far
thing.
As they know, they're in the air at this point.
I say to Rob, here's an important. How long do you drive around?
Yeah.
Probably about 15 minutes.
Enough to make
a
it.
To a kid.
Yeah, that's an eternity.
Enough
right?
to make it credible.
You fool them.
So far, I'm with it. I was really excited about it.
And they're running
this.
Distractions with the, you know, the paperwork and the noise. And, you know, we're almost there.
Right.
They get us to the gate. And they say, we're here at the North Pole. We can disembark now. And they open the doors, and we get out. And on the gangplank or whatever it is, that thing that hooks us up to the gate,
yeah.
All the windows are covered, so you can't see outside. You get in, and the gate is just totally made up with Christmas trees and music, and Santa Claus is there. And they've got characters dressed up like Big Bird and Elmo. There's not the word Dulles or Washington, D.C. or anything. Everything is covered. They just say, welcome to the North Pole Airport. And this is the airport. They Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
So they obviously have taken the time. Have they done this before?
I think so.
Okay,
yeah.
So they've got the system down.
Just wait, because now the kids are in absolute.
Oh, it's heaven.
Nirvana.
And,
right.
And there's donuts, and there are cookies, and there are sweetbreads, and here's soda for the kids, and there's people strolling. Would your kids like candy? And so the kids are just going 1,000 miles an hour, and it's all great, and we're there probably from 9:30 to about noon when it starts to wind up.
Oh, wow. This is
and
a
it
big
was,
deal.
Yeah, it was huge. Every kid got to see Santa, get a present from Santa. It was just amazing. And then I said to Carrie, I said, it's time to wind up. How do we get back? Do we get back on the plane? They said, we need to go to gate C1. I said, okay. So we go to North Pole gate C1, and they put us on a people mover and take us back. Right, and that's Aww. It. I mean, obviously, and Julia says we never left the airport.
You see,
okay, because they should do the return trip.
Do you get what I was saying?
Yes,
they do it perfect.
Do the return. Spend the extra money to do the return trip.
You spend hours building this up for these kids, it's and the illusion. Way Rob described it to me was he's really low balling it. Is that they said that's it. You're done. You get on the people mover.
Yeah, that's it. People mover.
And
Thank you.
As soon as you get on the people mover, you see, hold on a second. These are like fake decorations, and we really are just 10 feet
from where we were. Go from one terminal to the other.
And all they had to do was just put the kids back on.
And it would have been 100%.
Pixie.
It would have been 100%. And it was
perfect
until the very finish line. Wow. And then it was... You want to get on the people mover and take you back to the terminal now. They'll get you to your car.
Oh, and it would have been, what, 15 minutes?
Yeah.
Well, no, how long? It would have been
Well, it would have had to get
an hour
back on
to
the
get
plane.
Everybody back on. But if
but
they
still,
cut the thing at, like, say, 10:30,
you know,
11
exactly.
o'clock.
Hey, couldn't you say to the kids, get back on the plane. Santa's got super-duper speed. We're going to make it back in half the time that it took us to make it here before.
Yeah.
And plus, what kid's got a watch and is going,
right.
and the flight only took 20 minutes to get here.
They have no concept of time. It would have been perfect.
All they do know is that when they leave the North Pole, all of a sudden they realize that Mommy and Daddy and everybody were lying to them that they were really just at the airport the whole goddamn time.
So it was, but because it was so flawless, it even made the last part of it worse.
Yeah.
Because they'd gone out of their way to cover up. You have to get back on the plane and go back to Dulles.
I was really shocked, and I didn't know that this was going to fall apart like this until, 5 minutes to 12.
And isn't that, I mean, think about the detail they put in. When Rob was telling me that, seriously, the flight attendants on the flight.
The fantasy flight to the North Pole. Mm-hmm.
They were really making the mom and dads fill out the declaration forms.
Well, and was there any, did anybody, you obviously spoke to other parents. Yeah. Did anybody else commiserate with, hey, or were you all, because it was such a good
a
party, were
bit,
you all.
Yeah. But, we're right there in front. We get back on like a rental car van to take us back to our cars.
Right.
And it's looking to the parents. And there's this one guy, and I've seen him at some other events. And I looked at him. I said, kind of fell apart at the end, huh? And he said, yeah. And, but you really can't go in if the kids are right there. You don't want to say, they just cheated us.
No, but the point is this. If they put this much effort in.
It would just take a scotch more to make it perfect.
You got
to
make it perfect. And I think it would be amazing if they would do that.
And I was dreading it a little bit going into it because I didn't know how it was going to go down.
Right.
But, as of quarter to 12 on Saturday, I said, this is the greatest thing I've ever done for the kids.
Really, just an amazing event for the kids.
So cool.
Was it good enough where that carried over, or did it not? What did your little ones say? What did the little guys
say?
They
liked it. I mean, but it's any sort of Santa magic that might have been there was gone.
Yeah.
Because it was ruined at the end. Yeah. Okay. It was kind of like the end of a Hitchcock movie.
A good lesson about life.
Don and Mike show. Hello.
Right.
Yeah, hi.
Hi there.
I just want to call and confirm everything Mike Rob has said.
You mean you were at this function?
I worked for Dulles TSA, and I was there and I saw it. Everything he said is true.
Well, then, do you have any idea why didn't they just put the kids back on the airplane?
I have no idea why. It has to do probably something with the airlines. But a little.
It probably up. Now. What time did you do your taxiing and over? I mean, like what time?
9 o'clock.
At 9 o'clock, so it's not like there's air traffic there.
Sure.
Yeah.
So they're just going a little ways. Was this the first time you work at the airport? Was this the first time they'd done this thing?
No. They do it every year.
they disappoint children every year.
You can set your clock by the crying.
Well, in our fifth year of breaking children's hearts.
Yes, we give them a flawless ruse. We give them a flawless charade, and then at the end, of course, all the bets are off because, hey, you really have been at Dulles. That's almost nightmarish.
Any talk about among the employees at the airport that it all falls apart at the end? Uh-huh. Sir?
No, he's
sir.
Gone.
Oh, that's too bad that he's gone there. But, since they did such a great job leading up to,
they really got to go all the way with it.
I would hope they would in the future.
And then you get it back on the plane, and that's part of the fun.
I doubt we'll be returning to see the improved Fantasy Flight.
Yeah, that's too bad.
But it was a pretty staggering buildup with a really tremendous letdown.
You know, when you said this to me, I thought that was just about one of the coolest things I've ever
heard. It's a great idea, is it not?
Fabulous.
Don and Mike Show agreed. Hello.
Hello?
Hey, hi. What's happening?
Hey, Rob, did you stand up at the end and say, have you all got amnesia?
They just cheated us.
They wanted to.
That is just such a drag there. And, you know, and not only does it ruin the whole fantasy of the North Pole trip, but then you get the magic of the greatest airport in the world,
and
Dulles Airport. You get to go on the People Mover, yeah, which is the nicest part
of
Dulles.
And I think what no one really wants to say when you're talking about kids is because everybody's kid is at a different age, obviously, and is mentally either ahead, behind. I'll tell you, Julia, I guarantee, is already putting all the pieces together.
Oh, sure.
Sure.
Yeah.
Did she say anything to you?
She said, at one point, she said, are you sure we're going to leave this airport? I said, we're on a plane. Why would we be on a plane if we're not going to leave the airport? And then when they went through the whole thing with the revving of the engines and the driving and the arrival, she was convinced.
Wow.
Until we got
wouldn't
on the...
be? You're on a 747 and they spool up the engines. I'd believe it.
Yeah, yeah, you know? It felt pretty good. And then we got on the People Mover and she said, we never left.
Yeah, you know what? And I think the best way to describe Julia so people can get her, Robbie's oldest daughter, his only daughter, she is like a kid in a Peanuts cartoon.
She's so scary smart.
She has that. She'll sit down and talk to you, and you realize all of a sudden, wow, hold on. She really comprehends stuff.
Yeah, she gets it, and she's at that. And she's at the age anyway where, you know, you're at that tail end of the Santa Claus.
Yeah,
thing.
So, you know. That was
was so into this when you told me about it because it sounded so perfect if they pulled it off right.
You know when Letterman pulls at his collar when something uncomfortable happens on the show? A lot of that on the People Mover.
You know, they've done this for a number of years. I wonder if anybody's really hipped them to the fact that, hey, but, you know, obviously if you're going to turn those engines on, I mean, you're talking about jet fuel.
And not only that, but, I mean, a plane that is doing that is not flying paying passengers.
Right? Yeah.
And also there's the traffic on the tarmac, so I imagine it's tough.
Well, I would just simply say another airline out there might be able to do it better.
So next year, the kids will all be put to sleep, briefly.
Am I the only one that's concerned about the footprint that was left in our ozone because of this? And I'm right. And I'm all for leaving. And what do they call that? Your whatever the footprint.
Your ecological footprint.
Carbon footprint.
I'm all for leaving a carbon footprint. But what about the broken hearts?
They leave a footprint too.
The broken hearts can never be mended for that.
Carrie was still crying this morning. But not about that.
Jim Nance says that's stupid.
That is completely out of line.
Not a win-win, guys.
Well, you know, even with that, I think my kids are both not at Santa age anymore, and you know, but I'd love to experience that. Were there any older kids on the plane?
Yeah, and you know, taking that out of it, it's still a really cool thing to go through.
It is a cool thing, and I think they deserve credit for it, but
I wish
the whole way.
I wish that we could have left it with the magic on the table.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm big on the Santa Claus thing. And
or have the kids close their eyes and all of a sudden take down the decorations. Or say, you know,
do something to have the end and not just throw them on the
People Mover.
But, you know, when it is sort of worthwhile when they get it, and it was a great Santa Claus. And
oh, really?
He had presents for everybody.
It was really good until all the kids literally got kicked in the nuts at the end.
So there were good moments to watch until it all fell apart.
Right.
Total disaster at the very end.
Buzz
just keeps saying a good lesson to be learned.
Hello, Don.
Nobody said that life is fair, Tina.
That's right.
Hello there, Don and Mike. What's happening?
Yeah, hey, I was hoping to have a chance to warn Buzz about his gala combined federal campaign appearance tomorrow.
Oh, dear. What are you warning me?
Well, I just wanted to make you aware that if you've never been to a mental institution, be prepared.
Hold on. Let me just explain this. Boy, it's a random call. Yeah. Buzz was telling me before the show today, you know, Buzz does many outside speaking gigs.
Yes.
And such.
Thousands.
A motivational speaker is what he is.
He's a motivational speaker.
Anyway, about 10 or 12 a week.
It's a life lesson.
Who are you speaking to? Yeah, you're doing some sort of industrial voiceover thing, right?
No, I'm giving a speech tomorrow.
You're speaking tomorrow.
Where are you speaking?
Are you ready for this? You're sitting down?
Yeah, I am.
The National Geospatial Intelligence Agency.
That's right.
Where I'm speaking tomorrow.
Care to give us more detail?
They're the ones that run the Spatial Olympics.
Was Howard Bernstein busy?
Yes, he was. These are the people who watch us through satellites.
Really?
Well, be careful. They'll all want to be touching you, so you need to keep your distance.
Well, that's why I accepted the gig.
Okay. Hey, take
this is
care.
A typical Buzz thing. We're not going to get any information unless we pry.
He told me outside mm-hmm. is that he is making some sort of a speech. It's an odd marriage, is what he said.
Sure is.
Is that, in essence, he's making a speech to, now I remember, mm-hmm. he's making a speech to people that, like, who he really thinks are nasty and skanky and spy on us. Really?
Well, they do a little bit of that, I suppose. That's part of the military. It started out as the National Mapping Agency.
Maybe I've said too much.
How did you get this gig?
Yeah, he seems like such a natural.
I know people who know people.
Well, and he's got, listen, you're doing it for your usual gigantic, generous fee, correct?
No, I'm doing it at no charge whatsoever. It's for a charity fundraising that they do every year in the federal government.
Community,
is it a Christmas
community
thing?
Service.
Combined Federal Campaign is like the United Way for federal employees, and tomorrow we're going to get together at the NGA and celebrate the work that they've done this year.
It was all part of his deal, Doug.
So are you kind of like emceeing and introducing other people?
No, I'm one of a couple of guest speakers.
What is your speech going to be about?
Well, talking about the importance of charity and the good work that these people have done, and hopefully encouraging them to do more of it.
What's your opening line?
I don't remember now.
I don't want to spoil it anyway. How'd you get invited? This is quite a pleat in your cape.
I know somebody who works there.
And so you're going to talk about, hi, welcome, I'm Buzz Burbank, I'd like to tell you we're all gathered here to celebrate these people.
Because it's like the United Way, they feed money into a lot of community service organizations.
Don't they know that you hate charity?
I've spoken. No, I work with charities all the time. I speak all the time on the Washington Weekly, for example.
Oh, that's the show that the station forces you to do.
That's right, at gunpoint every Sunday.
More importantly, do they know how you feel about the big guy?
I don't know if they do or not. I don't know that comes into play.
Will there be any men of the cloth there? It'll come into play then.
There might be, but it's a government affair.
Fist
fight! I don't know about you, Buzz, but God comes into my life every day.
Yes.
How about you, Mike?
Amen. I was in church last week.
Buzz, the big warning is don't bring any of your special holiday mistletoe, if you know what I mean.
There are
dogs.
I'm just amazed I passed security clearance.
Yeah. He'll be all ginged up when he gives his speech.
All right,
hey,
see,
man.
So it's not a paid appearance. It's not one of your voiceover gigs.
No, it's a speech to like 300 people in an auditorium that will further be televised to other federal locations.
Hey, how about that?
Well, that's a cherry gig for you, Buzz. Congratulations.
And you're doing it for free?
Yeah.
Oh, good for you.
I'm very proud to be doing that. I'll tell you something fun about this agency, the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency. It used to be the National Mapping Agency, and a guy named Don Adams, before he was in show business, used to work there.
See, Tennessee Tuxedo.
And also Get Smart. And if you remember the opening to Get Smart with all those doors he went through, right. Don Adams got that idea from when he worked at the National Mapping Agency.
Really?
That's the same outfit. These are the shoe phone people.
So they're spies?
And well, now he's dead.
Some of them are. Some of them make maps.
Mm-hmm. These are the people you don't trust, though, Buzz.
Oh, I trust these people. I don't trust the people they work for.
Bam, bam, every...
In any given 4 years.
Bam, bam, da. Bam, bam, da, 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 da. What a great theme that was.
Is that going to be the next big flop for Steve Carell? I've seen the ads for that.
Oh, boy.
You know, I feel bad for that guy because I think he's so talented.
Yeah, but he's got bad representation
and so funny.
Bad choices.
He's so great in The Office. He was so great in The 40-Year-Old Virgin. Mm-hmm. But then he's got that string of movies, the Evan Almighty and the Dan in Real Life. And now Get Smart. You would think it would be hard to F up Get Smart, and he would be good as Maxwell Smart.
The movie where he's in the van with the
Little
whole
Miss
family.
Sunshine.
Little Miss Sunshine, another great little movie. Mm-hmm. That's what he ought to be doing.
Right.
Little movies like that.
Mm-hmm. I've got a feeling that Get Smart is going to be pretty good.
It's just another one. God almighty, it's another non-original idea from Hollywood.
Yep.
I mean, good Lord.
Come up with
something original.
I tell you, the guy that really has to be looking in a mirror today and saying, when did I sell out, was Jason Lee.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the Chipmunks.
I have seen so many ads now for Alvin and the Chipmunks.
He's doing the tour.
And Jason Lee is great on My Name is Earl. He was great in all those goddamn Silent Bob movies and everything else.
But Mallrats.
Now to see him standing there going, Alvin?
Right.
Yuck.
I always think of Jason Lee as he could have been the guy that was the good-looking guy that hung out with Seth Rogen instead of that other guy that's in all those movies. He could have been, Jason Lee could have been the guy.
You know, Scott Baio should be in the movie Alvin and the Chipmunks.
That's right.
You know what I mean? Someone like that.
Yeah, it is.
Steve Guttenberg. There, I've said his name.
You always do.
And I guess that they're just going to exhaust every children's cartoon, something that we all grew up with, and until there are no more.
And then start over again.
Then they'll start over, and by that time, they'll have other things that they can duplicate. It's ridiculous.
They always disappoint the children. First, it's Santa Claus. Then it's Alvin and the Chipmunks. Show Alvin at the Chipmunks, but only at Dulles Airport.
I just want a hula hoop. This way to leave the airport, Alvin.
Yes, please get on the people mode. Oh, yes, children. You're still at Dulles. You've been here the whole time.
It was a lie.
Merry Christmas, children.
How stupid are you kids?
Did you really think you were at the North Pole? Was the fantasy that good? Well, welcome back to reality. It's 50 degrees and gray. You're in Northern Virginia. And look, kids. Look over there. There's the Easter Bunny. Bony the Tooth Fairy.
Yes, fantastic. Yes, welcome. You're still, you've never left Dulles Airport. How's that sugar high feel now?
Suckers.
Mommy and Daddy lied to you.
That's right. You've been on the ground. What the plane did was spool up their engines.
That's all.
Foolish children.
All grown up.
You can never believe an adult. Well, we hope you've learned a valuable lesson. Now, please come down to the local cafeteria where you'll have a delicious lunch of liver and onions. Happy holidays, children.
One more. Hello, Doug, Don, and Mike show. Joe found a guy who says he was at that thing. Doug?
What are you doing? Hi, Don and Mike. Yes, I was there. All the kids on the plane.
That's my fault. Joe, you got me.
Doug was performing at the event. He was actually piloting the people mover.
On the good, you were all on the good ship Greece, right?
Yes, we were.
How you doing, kids?
Ha-da-da-da-da-da.
Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.